It's the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today, Ken Legee, who is a Texas A&M AgriLife Extension cotton specialist in Lubbock. First off, Dr. Bart Fisher with the Agriculture Food Policy Center, former chief economist at the House Ag Committee.
Some of you may have very strong feelings about CSP, but our goal is to take the best features of that and build it into EQIP, where the whole premise would be, hey, if there are high-impact things you're doing on your operation, let's use the EQIP model to cost share on it. So if you're doing no-till, we know how much it costs to keep it going, particularly with chemical prices and weed resistance. Let EQIP partner and help, you know, and help offset the cost of maintaining some of those. Sounds strangely like climate smart incentives, right? Well, that whole framework is already there. We just had to package it differently because of politics. And so the challenge is going to be, can they strip the politics out of it and just move forward? Because this is not that hard to do if they're able to sidestep the politics.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're at the Texas Cotton Ginners Annual Meeting and Convention in Lubbock at the Civic Center. Look who we ran into. Ken Legee, who is with Texas A&M AgriLife Extension and is cotton specialist. Ken, it's great to see you.
Well, thanks for having me today.
Okay, a little background about Ken. And you, did you grow up in cotton?
No. I grew up in southeast Texas, a little town called Winnie, real close to the coast. I describe Winnie as Lubbock with 60 inches of water. And didn't really see my first cotton plant till I entered graduate school at Texas A&M. And as they say, the bug bit me. And here I am today, 37 years later, having done nothing but cotton for that entire time. And it's just a life that I've really enjoyed.
Well, your steps to get to this have given you a lot of insight, a lot of knowledge. And now as a cotton specialist for extension cotton specialist for the Texas High Plains in the region, what all does that involve? I mean, I say the High Plains. What's the territory?
Well, and territory is kind of a loose term. So our territories are districts within extension. And my testing footprint is primarily what we call District 2, which is roughly from Swisher County to just south of Dawson County, and then from the New Mexico state line to about the edge of the Caprock. So that's where most of my testing is done. But since I'm 100% cotton, so I'm the cotton specialist all the way down from, you know, all the way up from Spearman to San Angelo. So I do meetings and field tours. If a grower has a question about, hey, something weird in my field, come look at it, I could get a call from any of that large geography.
Just thinking back, you mentioned 30 plus years. You've seen a lot of changes in not just the cotton industry, but cotton production as well.
Yes.
When you look back at some of the biggest changes for the industry, what would those be?
Well, you know, you really have to go back to boll weevil eradication.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in the southeast whenever boll weevil eradication was really starting. So you begin to see the absence of it, and that changed life. And there are a lot of growers now that are young enough that did not experience that, and they can't fully appreciate how good a program that was, and I don't think it gets enough credit. Then in the mid-90s, we start seeing BT cotton. And, you know, that was one of those jaw-dropping moments where you saw one that was protected, one that was just decimated with damage, and you're thinking, this is going to be a pretty big deal. Then Roundup Ready. And I remember the first time I saw a commercial field of Roundup Ready cotton. And I was brought out, and this grower was a great advocate for cotton, but his fields were in tough shape. It wasn't uncommon to see a lot of weeds. And so when I was brought to the field, I remember asking whoever I was with, well, when did this guy go no-till? And they were like, no, this is not no-till. What I thought was wheat stubble were carcasses of pigweed plants. And I remember that moment of thinking, this is going to be huge. This is going to change the way we farm cotton. And of course, it did in a lot of different ways, right, with resistance built up. So when I look back at those things, those were the really exciting moments. And probably the most recent aha moment I had was when we had reniform nematode-resistant varieties. And that was such another jaw-dropping moment where one gene and without the gene, the huge difference in growth and yield potential from one gene. And it's another one of those moments in my career where I just stood there with my mouth open saying, this is going to be huge.
Well, speaking of huge, we started 2023 thinking we're getting ready to put runs on the board. We're home runs here.
Right.
And then we ended up losing the game, if you will. As we look to 2024, and we're approaching planting time pretty quick, we're not going to have many acres change at this point, will we? Out of cotton to something else, or from cotton back in, at least for that first planting in May?
Yeah, I don't think we'll see big differences. Now, as I tell people, planting rain at the right time can change the landscape in the high plains. So if we get the proper planting rain, there's going to be a lot of dry land cotton planted. I don't care what the prices are. That's just what growers here are used to doing. And as you know, last couple of years have been extremely tough and really tough on gins. And gins are needing product to go through the plant, right? So I think, and a lot of growers are members or owners of those gins. So if there's an opportunity to plant cotton, I think we'll see cotton planted. But it's, you know, a lot of those dry land acres, I think, are going to be last minute decisions on whether they plant it, whether it's prevented, do they put sorghum out there as an alternative and slightly less expensive option. Now, if we go into the season dry, yeah, I think we'll see those acres pull back a bit, maybe get up to the insurance planting date, and they'll put something out there. And I hope we don't have that, right? I hope we have a good planting season where everybody can get all the acres they want planted, and we'll have a good season. We're set up moisture-wise, and of course, you know, growers like to be toward the cautious side, and I think that's smart, but we're in such better condition now this time of year than we had been in either 22 and especially 23. So I think we have some base moisture in places. Now, we can find some places around the area that simply don't have that base moisture, but a lot of the big cotton counties do have some base moisture. And that is a very good sign. So if we can get it in, that supplemental irrigation that we have, we'll be able to keep up. We keep on getting some timely rains. Yeah, we're due a good crop. And everybody's concerned about, oh, La Nina's going away. We're going into neutral. To be honest, I've stopped looking at the forecast because I just want to look optimistic and say I think we're going to get planted. And, yeah, when that switch happens is critical. But it may be a blessing in disguise if we do have a big crop. If we go into a dry season during harvest, may not be a bad thing in the end.
Okay. There are obviously pre-plant work that's going on, field work right now. Seen some yellows going out and can smell some yellow going out. What are some other things that we need to maybe keep in mind or just need to be focused on before we ever put that seed in the ground?
Well, certainly you've hit on the most important right now is weed control. As many people have said before, the best weed is one that never came up. So the secret to that is residuals. And like you, I've seen a lot of yellows going out, and that is a very positive sign. People are not going to put out yellows without having cotton in mind. So that's a very good sign, and they're investing in it. So I think we're off to a good start there. We need some more showers to activate all that herbicide. But the fact that growers are investing in residuals and are planning to overlap those residuals like they're supposed to is a very good sign. Secondly, a lot of variety decisions have been made, but not all. So I think there are a significant amount of growers that are toying with the variety selection decision but have not yet made that decision. So that would be the first order of business for those guys is it's time now to secure your seed. I think seed supplies from all the suppliers I've talked to is in good shape. But if you want that specific variety that fits your farm, that's your favorite variety, that may not be in full supply. So make sure you get the variety you want. How do you do that? There are public trials within Texas A&M AgriLife. I say look at seed company trials. Those guys do a very good job. There are some gens and consultants and some retailers that conduct trials this past year. And then conducting trials in 23 was a challenge. So there's not as much information as there usually is. So gather as many data points as you can on variety comparisons and make the best possible decision you can on choosing the right variety for your acre.
I've heard from some producers, and we actually got maybe some confirmation from USDA's National Ag Statistics Service recently on an uptick in Pima cotton acres. I've also heard some producers looking at maybe going conventional who've never gone conventional. And then you've got organic as well, all within the district that you're in. So as you consider that, does it make life a little interesting for you having to switch back and forth from conventional, organic, then Pima? Your hands are full, aren't
they? It's a challenge. Particularly, you know, if you're a grower, then it's utmost important to know what's around you. Because if you're in one of the auction technologies and you have an organic producer nearby, you really need to know that. So I encourage growers to communicate with one another. And you know, I guess, you know, I'm constantly amazed. I'll ask growers, well, who farms this field? And I don't know. It's like, I don't know. It's one of the fundamental things. But understandably, land changes hands and you get land leases that change. So it is a complicated process to find out, number one, who's farming next to you and what are they targeting? Are they a conventional grower, organic grower? Are they growing the opposite auction technology? Are they, you know, glyphosate, glufosinate? So it is complicated, and this is the time of year to try to investigate that. Granted, some of that may change last minute, but most of it won't. But yes, it does present a challenge to all those growers to make sure they're all respecting one another's directionality with regard to wind and drift and trying to be good stewards.
Congratulations on the new job, and looking forward to working with you a lot.
Well, thanks. A pleasure to be here.
Okay, so we're at the Texas Cotton Ginners annual meeting and expo. It's at the Lubbock Civic Center. I'm Tony St. James. This is the Agribusiness Report.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today, Ken Legee, with Texas A&M AgriLife Extension.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Tired of paying for expensive and inefficient fertilizer? Then you need to source it. Source from Sound Agriculture optimizes the nutrients supplied by the microbes in your soil, providing 25 pounds of nitrogen and 25 pounds of phosphorus per acre, and unlocks tied up phosphorus and other micronutrients. Source is a cost-effective alternative to live biologicals that you can throw in the tank and spray in season. Unlock your crop's potential and increase your ROI with Source. Find your local dealer at sound.ag.
You're listening to our comprehensive look at agribusiness news, markets, and weather It's the Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Are you planning on fence or brushwork on your ranch this summer? West Texas Attachments has the skid steer attachments you need to make the job easier. Clear the way with their rock and brush grapple and drive posts quickly and accurately with the Montana Post Driver. They also have a tree and post puller that will handle trees up to 3 inches in diameter. West Texas Attachments also offers low-cost delivery to your area. Call Brad at 806-548-7167 or visit westtexasattachments.com to get the skid steer attachments to make your job easier.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
It's called Nursery Value Select, and it's a pilot crop insurance program. It covers nursery crops, and if you are a nursery grower in one of the only 9 states where it's been available, you may know all about it already. But USDA is in the process of expanding this program this next season from 9 states to 43, and the hope is that for the 2025 crop or thereafter,
it will be available in all counties in all states.
That's Marcia Bunger. She runs the USDA's Risk Management Agency, which oversees the Nursery Value Select program.
What it does is it allows nursery producers to select a dollar amount of coverage that best fits their risk management needs.
With the program being offered in so many new states, USDA is going to be holding some virtual workshops for growers. 2 workshops on April 18th, another one July 18th. To find out more, go online, search Nursery Value Select. Gary Crawford, Washington.